Okay, as a brief introduction, we are Tuesdays we are using going to have 1 hour. Of course, we are a little late today, almost 1 hour, and we have appointed discussion topic that is from the Saṅyutta Nikāya, Sagātaka Vaggye, and we have last thing also we did not finish the sutta. We are going to start beforehand. If anyone is having any relevant issue or some many reports or interview reports, we can take little time, and then we are going to start the traditional way, our appointed way. We are waiting if someone is having any special circumstantial issues.
Bhante, there is nothing from this end.
Good. And who else participate from the Zoom other than Nisanwani?
Yes, Bhante.
Other than Nisanwani and Kumara, who else are appearing in the Zoom screen?
Actually, Bhante, there are 45 participants.
Oh. Individual participants, no other branches. So, with that knowledge, with that understanding, we are going to proceed.
Avasai Swaminansi, we are currently reading Samiddhi Sutta.
This
is the 20th Sutta in the entire Saṅyutta Nikāya. Right, so just a recap of this sutta. We have the Venerable Samiddhi. The sutta starts saying that he's dwelling at the hot springs park, and he's bathing there, and a devata approaches him and stands in the air and says to him that he is a young bhikkhu, a young man. Why did he choose to become a monk instead of spending his youth enjoying sensual pleasures? And then the Venerable Samiddhi says that as he understands it, sensual pleasures, as taught by the Buddha, are dangerous, they are time-consuming, and they cause stress and despair. So the devata is confused at these words, and he asks, why does the Buddha teach like this? Why does the Buddha say that sensual pleasures cause despair, cause stress, and are time-consuming? And so Venerable Samiddhi says that he is still a newly ordained monk, and he is not able to explain in detail why the Buddha teaches thus. So he invites the devata to go to the Buddha for an explanation. And so now I will start with, after Venerable Samiddhi has spoken to the deva, then the devata says, but how is it, bhikkhu, that the Blessed One has stated that sensual pleasures are time-consuming, full of suffering, full of despair, and the danger in them is still greater? How is it that this Dhamma is directly visible, immediate, inviting one to come and see, applicable, to be personally experienced by the wise? And Venerable Samiddhi says, I am newly ordained, friend, not long gone forth, just recently came to this Dhamma and discipline. I cannot explain it in detail, but the Blessed One, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one, is dwelling at Rajagaha in the hot springs park. Approach that Blessed One and ask him about this matter. As he explains it to you, so you should remember it. Yes, so the bhikkhu invites the devata to visit the Buddha, and the devata says, it isn't easy for us to approach the Blessed One, bhikkhu, as he is surrounded by other devatas of great influence. If you will approach him and ask him about this matter, we will come along too in order to hear the Dhamma. And Venerable Samiddhi says, very well, friend. And then he approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and reported his entire discussion with that devata. And he adds, if that devata's statement is true, Venerable Sir, then that devata should be close by. When this was said, The Devata said to the Venerable Samidhi, "Ask, Bhikkhu, ask, for I have arrived." Then the Blessed One addressed that Devata in verse. And the Blessed One says, "Beings who perceive what can be expressed become established in what can be expressed. Not fully understanding what can be expressed, they come under the yoke of death. But having fully understood what can be expressed, one does not conceive one who expresses, for that does not exist for him by which one could describe him."
So this is, I am about to read the Sinhala version, but before that, I would like to share some perversions in our mind. Whenever our body becomes satisfied, whenever our body becomes elated, whenever our body becomes thrilled, we recognize this as sex. But it is coming from the solitude. It's coming from the non-materialistic way. But our body knows only sexual pleasure and sensual pleasure. So whenever non-materialistic pleasure happens, body is always referring and consulting the materialistic pleasure or the luxuries. So this is happening in the first jhana. In the first jhana, vitakka vichara is there and the piti sukha is suppressed. So the moment the vitakka vichara go on, the piti sukha appears. Do you understand what I am telling? And that mind is not prepared. That piti sukha is happened, viveka jam piti sukha. Happening from no seeing, not hearing, not smelling, not tasting, not touching. But body is elated. Body is thrilled and frilled. So therefore body read, some must be their sexual object. Otherwise how come that? So I attribute this situation to the Samidhi. Samidhi going to the early morning and cool climate and hot water bath, and he remove clothes and he's drying his limbs. So it's a kind of, it's a young beautiful monk. So his vitakka coming, so I am so young and I am entertaining also. But I know that entertainment come only from materiality. Only from the association of senses. So that is what the Devata. So Devata comes and says, "You are very contented now. You are very happy." And it is coming from the Viveka. No one is there in the bathing place. Cool climate. Hot water. And he is naked. Oh, meagerly clothed. He says, drying his body. So the Devata comes and he says, "What the hell, guy? You are a young fellow. Go and entertain and maximize this and go for varietal entertainment." And behind that, he says, he knows the Buddha, his primary object. He knows the mindfulness. And he asks the Devata, "Please go and consult Buddha." Devata says, "Oh, I can't go that place. It's a very prestigious, devatas are surrounded by." So therefore, Devata is cornering him and punching him. But his mind is split now. He's young. He's beautiful. His body is contented. Now, he don't know whether it is coming from the materialistic pleasure or immaterial. But immaterial pleasure he has never experienced. He's not familiar. He knows only the sensuous pleasure. So, it is very powerful. And Devata is representing the papancha. Coming and suggesting, "What the hell, your young life is, you must be entertaining. That's what our parents are telling us before we are getting ordained. And this is at the prime age, you must have family. You must have written a book. You must have done a business. And that is what you have to need." So internally we know even renunciation is a pleasure, not renunciated, the idea of renunciation, but mind is struggling. We are surrounded by friends and the families and everything, everyone says, "You young guy, not supposed to do this kind of a celibacy, and you have all the things, just have it." And he says, "It's a wastage of time, if I go there I will trap." So therefore, one side of the mind, split mind, is telling, no, no, that it is my private business. I have to renounce. Or renounced. But the filthy side of the mind, the powerful side of the mind, the sexual side of the mind, sensual side of the mind says, this is immediate, you can feel. See a beautiful, go and have a blue film. And your young life, you can do. And hear rock music. You see the titillation and giggling, frills and thrills. Billions of people are going there and billions of money. Have a smell. Nice smell, nice taste, and nice comfort. If there is no opposite sex, have a nice bedding. Have a nice cushion. Instead of sitting behind the water stream, go and have. And the mind says, what the senses are giving, immediate, akalika. What you are aiming is, you have to meditate eons of time, and at last only happening, at that time you are not there. You are no more. So what the hell? It's a full disappointment. It's a inferential knowledge. It's a deductive knowledge. Or it's a rationality. So this split mind, well explained by Krishnamurti. Each and every person is a split mind. Left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. So it is maybe depicting the bad side by the Deva and the good side by the Buddha. And the Deva says, I can't go to the Buddha. He is very prestigious and he is living in such a high esteem and surrounded by powerful devatas. So now, bringing the mind back to the breath, bringing the mind back to the mindfulness, bringing the mind to the present moment is that you have to bring that devatava to the Buddha. Definitely, you know Buddha gave priority. The prestigious people will be kicked off. It will be taken. But devata says, I am sorry, I am a very, very minuous and nominal devata. I have no access to the Buddha. So imagine young girl and a young boy in a garden. Boy in front of a girl and a girl in front of a boy. You Pandita Sahaja says how much defilements they are creating. Because they have not touched each other. They are love making. Kind of proliferation. How many songs, how many films, how many advertisements, how many gardens, how many capital cities, how many leaders are telling it is innocent? It's immediate. So what the Buddha says, immediate thing is here and now. Not the achieving Nibbana in time to come. And if you know, if they bring the mind back to the back home, here and now, then the Buddha, Devata and our split mind can have a fair judgment, fair court. This is not happening. Yogis have no that confidence. They think that the Buddha must come here. What the hell, Devata are coming and titillating me to the other side. So, innocent me, what to do? I am falling prey into that titillation. So, that is what girls and boys, today more than any other time, they are thinking about the renunciation in a spiritual way or committing suicide. It's very common. Or instead, killing someone. Or to go for addiction. They know bad. Addiction is bad. They are definitely, they know. But they are doing. Because that split mind is a burn in the candle from both the ends. So therefore, using this epithet and this example, it says this is a struggle going against the grain. This is the struggle all young people are doing. When you become old age, your knowledge is too much, very little contentment happening. So therefore they are talking about the Buddhism and Paticchasamuppada and all this nonsense. They are taking this as weapon because they don't have direct experience because they are the prolific age gone. They know what you call that seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, they have done at the failure. So they can't justify spiritual contentment. So therefore, they are the people running the Buddhism today. They are the people running Christianity today. They are the people running Muslims today. They are the running people, other religious leaders. They are culprits. They are rogues behind robe. So no one, young girl or boy, get the proper answer or proper justification, proper deductive knowledge, proper inferential knowledge. But they are endowed with, their possibilities are there. Potential is there. So our discussion is to give helping hand, and whenever we are confronted with this kind of a balancing, either the Buddha or the God, people are much happy with God. Each and every God believer knows we can't go to the Buddha. Buddha is surrounded by very powerful gods. So they have their own regiment, their own camp. Because Buddha is too much, it is very, very transcendental, we can't. So he or she asking Samiddhi, we are giving kissing and hugging and everything. Buddha is far away person. Why don't you listen to me? God will kiss you, Buddha will bless you. Therefore, many people are happy to have God. Because they are giving immediate thing. Or otherwise professing that. All the universities are invariably doing this. All the universities, it's a hidden curriculum they have. And government says you must undergo education. It's a capital punishment. Young children, some people are very prominent and smart in education, but many are failure. So they are the subject. Successful people are the rulers. They say, what the hell, we got everything. We got the subject, we got the money, we got everything. What the hell, you can't educate. That is how everything is. But that is not the life. Life is failure is also failure, success also failure. But they are not aiming at self-exploration. Never. Present education, never. If they are going to do, lot of troubles. The British government is asking why the health minister is not prescribing mindfulness. They have taken to the parliament and giving a long lecture. He says the health ministry is under the influence of the pharmaceutical industry. They are not about the well-being of the people. So therefore I understand why you are not prescribing mindfulness. American senator also, there is one person. He said, mindfulness is free. No equipments, no knowledge, no female-male difference, no ordained, unordained, no religious, no language. So being so, why they are not prescribed? They are talking about the UNDP, UNO, IMF and World Health Organization, big organization. All are part and parcel and limbs of the Mara. If you go to an organization, they are thinking about their sustainability. They never think about individual liberation. So therefore, the suttas giving kind of a picture. But if you put it to oneself, you are the Buddha, you are the God, you are in the present moment and split mind. Going against the grain. But even you are not crossing, even if you are not cutting across the current, this very knowledge is enlightening. This very knowledge is full of deductive knowledge. We are all equal in deductive knowledge. We are not catalyzing it. We are run by the immediate results. Immediate sense pleasure, Buddha says. Sigmund Freud says sexual behavior. Your sex can explain all your behavior. So therefore, Western, as they say, is a Jewish phenography. Because he explains everything through the sex. Buddha is little diluted sensual pressure. So whole world is blindly following all the knowledges, worldly knowledges to the sensuous pleasure. They don't see it as a crime. As a family, we can look at the film, we can look at the advertisement, we can look at the sensuous pleasure, no harm. But how many of people get addicted and ultimately ruining their life? Organizations are very highly talking, but ask this organization leader whether he is self-aware, whether he is mindful, whether he is taking care about his behavior. No. So I started reading the Western book. I learned a lot. Westerners came and told Bhante, these bloody fellows are not responsible about their behavior or their ethical or moral responsibilities. Then I told, never mind, I'm a bumpkin coming from the village. I can understand what they are telling. Ultimately, it is robbed by the Buddhist scripts. Presenting in a prolific way. We pay for the lecture. When you come back to the sutta, you can decode it. So therefore, it is a halfway sometimes helpful to understand. But early Buddhist texts always started with Namo Buddhaya, paying respect to the Buddha. Present day, books never dedicated to Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Dedicated books are talking about nonsense. Very lowly things. But we are not lowly people. We have dedicated, we are practiced, and we have gone to this spiritual, non-materialistic pleasure. But without proper interpretation, either we fall into the sensuous pleasure, or we think mind is puddled, boring, monotonous. I have to do something. So Gurdjieff is telling, if you are going to do something, simple thing is you lose the mindfulness. Being that friction, living in the friction, that dukkase darasitima, or forbearance, no one respect, because it says we have technology, we have press the button and get everything done, we have money, we have infrastructure, why should we worry? Why should we suffer? Are you sadistic or misogynist? Why? I have my own rights to practice my sadistic or misogynism. And that is what the Buddha in a way explained as the dukkha satcha, truth of suffering. Why God created religion not talking about the suffering? They are the creator of suffering. They are the creator of holy wars. They are the creator of all these pharmaceutical industries, war machine, media, money makers, prostitution, cosmetics, this thing. You can see how the girls are used for this advertisement. How much boosting up with the skin coloration and making curvatures. Why not? And present day, boys also caught up. When we were young, boys are not so. But nowadays, very difficult to understand whether he has a sexually female or male. All are females thinking they are males. Ladies also think we are males. Males, they don't look at their genitals. They are looking forward. Hardly they see they have male genital organs. So therefore, maybe some Buddhist people may be criticizing me, telling that I am going to give a different perspectives. But I invite you, and very recently only, I thought of sharing and talking and exploring into this. Niramisha Sukha appeals to sexual pleasure. When it is happening, young meditators are lost. Because they can't talk about. They are already committed. They think the meditative pleasure or non-meditative pleasure, because Niramisha Sukha, they think it is coming from sex. It comes from the chemicals. So they in order to increase it, they give up the mindfulness and try to do a little bit of meddling with this sexual pleasure. But it is not doing permanent harm, unless otherwise go to extremes. But if you are by talking these things, we are opening a new avenue in our brain, in our neurobics. And we must be very, very open, very, very straightforward, and very, very not to be perverted. Sharp to the point. So recently I met some nuns. They told, when you are talking these things also, you are hitting nuns and cornering nuns. No, I told them they are more susceptible. Males we are discussing. females think this as a confidential and private. They can't talk because the males are exploiting them. That is what in the tantrism happens. Directly talking about that. And after that, they are now spiritually come up to the tantrism and using girls and sex objects. So therefore, it is not easy at any age, any civilization, any place of the world. But we can discuss openly. I don't think I am going against the Theravada values. I am 72 years old. Plus, how many times I got committed? How many times I am going to be committed? Because whenever this contentment happens, whenever it is inner peace going to happen, we attribute to something. That character is there in Saddha, you know Saddha, Virya, Samadhi, Panya. Only the Sati keep the topic open. Choicelessly be aware. Don't quickly attribute to the sex or sensuous pleasure. Be there, but always it thinks it's boring, monotonous. I have to do this, I have to do that. Each and everything is breaking your train. You can't be there. That is our private knowledge. We think we are knowledgeable. We think we are potential people. We can do this and that. Yes. Each and everything is disturbing your humbleness, mindfulness, present moment awareness. So therefore, it's a completely different kind of a perspective I presented. And I doubt whether anyone needs any single translation. I open the discussion. We have about half an hour. And you can talk pro and against. Any comment?
Saraivante, you mentioned a very good point about young people meditating.
Right, that's called escapism.
Yeah, I mean, I have met few people who practice very well, but they tend to enjoy the bliss that they are generating from the practice rather than getting more directed towards the mindfulness. So, in such situations, should we really strictly direct them to mindfulness, or should we really allow them to be there, considering their age and considering these mental attributions that usually arise in young people's mind?
Very difficult, because mindfulness they have already done. They know it. But whenever mindfulness is going to give the results, they attribute it to Saddha or Virya or Samadhi or Panya. Then or not, mindfulness will be undermined. So this happening Theravadin very effectively. So mindfulness results must be given to the mindfulness. That's when Jnanapornika's 2 pages in the Power of Mindfulness exactly is talking. Saddha is very smart. He says everything is due to Saddha. Everything is my effort. Yeah, and many, for your question, in short answer is everything is due to Samadhi and Panya. They are utter shrewd fellows. Mindfulness is very straightforward. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. He says Buddha only can understand the attribution of the writ of the mindfulness, attributed to mindfulness, only the Buddha. It's not a simple task, massive task. So therefore you can say, disadvantage of attributing to the Samadhi. That's very prominent in my character. Sometimes I am too much. So all the meditators are coming here not for mindfulness. They are coming from Samadhi. Whenever mindfulness developing, he thanks Samadhi. All the mindfulness, mindful school, mindful masters are in this blindfold situation. They are whenever reporting this person is very successful in mindfulness, they present their Samadhi. That means meditation master is wrong. That means master trainers are wrong. So I try my best, so I am unpopular. I understand. But they wanted to show something. But Samadhi is such a luring thing. Luring thing. whole religions are based on samadhi and panya, saddha. Because self-aggrandization, self-aggrandization. People are very happy. Masters also happy, teachers also, students also happy. They have a camp. Why not? I mean, it's an immaterial pressure. But attribution is turn. Direct path is mindfulness. Whenever you take a turn, it's coming back to the same point again. So that is well explained in Power of Mind, where the no boundary, how the crooked line and the straightforward line. Straightforward line is very boring. Directed to the infinitum. And they are center, the crooked line, they have a center. Yeah, straight line, center is, Lakshya is in infinitum. So people can't see any object. People can't see any result. So therefore their meditation is the gateless path, pathless path. Should that happen before starting meditation, or should happen while meditating, or should understand after the enlightenment is completely open issue, no one can decide. So the God can come, the benevolent people can come, and benefactors come, all are attributing to the either saddha or virya or samadhi or panya. No one understand. If you understand, you are already enlightened. But then and there you have to understand. There are no tablets, no operations, no proper place for that. There is no proper method. It's electric. It's impromptu. If that is there, you are in any trouble, but mindfulness is intact. Whatever the phrase you have, mindfulness is intact. At that time, the other party, very difficult to say that mindfulness is the secret. They think they should have a magic formula. Magic formulas are old in Samatha traditions. I have observed 50 years. They have a lot of magic formulas. People are talking and hilariating and giggling and frills and thrills. But you see what they are, what is their main theme? Slight perversion from the mindfulness to the Samadhi. Or otherwise, too much of virya, they are self-destructive or mortification. Forest monks are all in that. Very difficult to save. They are masochists. They are sadistic. They think virya, striving. The striving is very much necessary at the beginning, but later you have to tadupaka virya vahanatena, as the progress happen, to get rid of virya. Let it happen by effortless way, but not at the beginning. At the beginning, when you are opening the car, you have to give the full throttle. Otherwise, very difficult to start the engine. To make the heap of iron, you have to enter into the first gear. Lot of fuel, lot of gas. Once that come up to the certain momentum only, you can go to the second gear. You can understand. Engineers cars understand, but drivers can understand. It depends on the ramp and the weight of the vehicle and the horsepower. So therefore smoothly you have to put into the second gear and then less fuel. Third gear, top gear. At the top gear, no brake. Very difficult to brake. So when I go to driving license, I ask for bicycle license. Earlier there was in the application paper, they are writing bicycles. Before writing that, there's a space. After the passing exam, we put heavy vehicles and bicycle. Police knows, the trainer, learner knows, the candidate I know, I put bicycle. And in the application, there's a space before bicycle, it is heavy vehicles and bicycle. So I went there and he asked questions. He says, now at that time I had a 185 bike. Very, very handy bicycle. He says, when you are overtaking, what gear you should go? Then I told top gear. No. Actually, if you to stop when you are overtaking, no control in the top gear, you have to go in third gear. So, but the young people happy to be go in the third gear while you are overtaking. In a full boom. I pass exam. But I learned that example, that lesson from the traffic sergeant. It happened in Maravilla, I think. I don't know where I was. Maybe. I got a heavy vehicle license, but I interview was main at the bicycle license. This is how in Sri Lanka we give license. That is what Kalmatthanacharya doing. They just give samatha and give the license for enlightenment. They only write samatha. It is verifiable. It is full of thrills and frills. And ultimately, it is now you are enlightened. So what the people succumb to the situation is, either they have to commit, they have to confess, or commit suicide. A lot of people about to commit suicide. They are meditators, successful meditators, wrong attribution. Mindfulness is, qualities of mindfulness and the results are attributed to the samatha. It's utterly due to the teacher's mistake. You have to take whether like it or not, keep the mindfulness intact. The samiddhi must understand, take that deity, the devata, to the Buddha. You see, I can't go there because Buddha is so high, high spiritual person, I can't reach. No, no. You come with me. Buddha bring back to the here, now I am. It's a common lesson, nothing to learn, nothing titillated, nothing dramatic. So therefore, when we are living in this spiritual life, we are daily confronting this kind of events, 10, 20 per day maybe. Sometimes 10, 20 events in one sitting. Because our good and bad of the meditation is not attributable to the mindfulness. You always talk in terms of samatha. When the samatha happens, what the hell, I am already enlightened. I can give example to the others. I can write a good exam, my interview report. Our teacher is not dynamic. He is not happy with me because he has not gone up to that samatha level. That is why he is envious with me. That's why Avalokamru is telling. So read the first two pages in The Power of Mindfulness. Very well explained. Power of Mindfulness. Jnanaponika. So I always quote that. He said the qualities of mindfulness attributed to the either Saddha or Virya or Samadhi or Panya. These are the present day books. What the Buddha never taught. The books are bestsellers. When you are talking and writing about mindfulness, no one take care. Because it is very, just like Kanda. You know Kanda? It's not tasty. How do you call Kanda in porridge? It's just like porridge. It's good for evening, good for morning, anytime. But not nutritious, no high protein. But replenishing the stomach. So therefore, Kandabila wage, that is in Sri Lankan, we say Kandabila means he is a lethargic person. Meka Kandabila wage. Was it?
Yes, Bhante, Vasarai, something you said about virya and forest monks, they keep striving, but the way you said that in the beginning that is necessary and afterwards it is not something that needs to be pursued with so much energy and effort. I was just thinking that there are many instances in the Sanyutta Nikaya where the Buddha says that one who has reached there, that Muni, that Arahant, he's neither lethargic nor does he strive. He is not attached to being free and is not attached to sensual pleasures.
21st Sutta in the Sanghita Nikaya. First Sutta, Ogatarana Sutta. Not striving, not hurrying or tarrying. If you are striving too much, you will be taken by the current. If you are tarrying, you will sink. So current is very fast. So you have to go against the current, but in a balanced way. Present day politics means balancing. Economics means balancing. Social science is balancing. Today people expecting the outside people to come and outsource to get our balance. psychiatrists, doctors, lawyers. They say, okay, okay, we can do it for you. That bloody fellows are not mindful.
And once again, with the Buddha's reply in this sutta, looks like it's just circling back to the same theme of emptiness, nothingness, the state of non-attribution. And I'm personally starting to see that the Buddha, he really spoke about this sunyata so many times everywhere, not expressing things, because once you give an attribution to something, then right there is where you are. That is right where the I making, the ego, that is where the I is born. So the Buddha just keeps repeating this again and again and again. And I just keep wondering why in Theravada, this is not promoted as much as it is in other sects of Buddhism, like Zen or some Tibetan Buddhism. They pay so much attention to this emptiness, this sunyata. But
Zen and Theravada, the Mahayana, you have to understand, they are gaining the energy by blaming Theravada. That is, no one can read by reading the book. They are always hacking Theravada. They are always underestimate Theravada. That's their source. So therefore, those who have practiced Theravada and failed, Mahayana is very good. Because it's a reaction. It's very prolific. It is the blood, young blood. It is very revolutionary. Because Theravada, but they have to blame something. But we are masters in Theravada. But we are not taken away by the Mahayana. Therefore, Bhikkhu Bodhi wrote an article telling that be careful about Advaita Vedanta. That is the way. Once you practice Theravada, when you come up to that level, something you are facing very boring. Something you are facing at no thrills, no frills. There are people come and says, come with us. We can give you that this thing. Mahayana is giving in wholesale business. Hinduism, you little in the retail business. And whenever you read, they are hacking Theravada. Present day evolution in the political science also, there should have some mistakes. Then only you can have revolution. There should have some kind of unfair situation. They never say thanks to the unfair situation. Unfair situation is a norm. But they take hiatus from that and come out with very smart answers. So young people are taken away. That is what the advertisements means. That's one titillation. That is why the new faculties in the each and every university, they are reacting to the old professors. Hack them and whack them. And then the new professor is getting a chance. Old professors, what to do? Because their research time must go on and people are not respecting. Now department head, new line, new subject start. All are in the same pot. So therefore, Theravada, don't worry. The boredom is the real indicator. I am progressing. Bear it up. Don't adjust. Don't try to refine it. Don't try to be a smart I am the answer. I have to answer it. No, I am not answerable. I have to bear it up. Sustainability. They have very less energy. I have a wide view. 1001 examples are there. You have to interpret and get the interpretation, your own interpretation. Don't believe majority. Don't believe already understood professors. They are idiots. Mind your own business. Be mindful.
Bhante, may I finish the rest of the sutta?
Yeah.
Right. So, after the Buddha's response, the Buddha asks, if you understand Devata, speak up. And the Devata says, I do not understand in detail, Venerable Sir, the meaning of what was stated in brief by the Blessed One. Please, Venerable Sir, let the Blessed One explain it to me in such a way that I might understand in detail the meaning of what he stated in brief. And the Blessed One says, one who conceives, I am equal better or worse, might on that account engage in disputes. But one not shaken in the three discrimination does not think I am equal or better. If you understand, spirit, speak up. And the Devata says, in this case too, venerable sir, I do not understand in detail. Let the Blessed One explain it to me in such a way that I might understand in detail the meaning of what he stated in brief. And the Buddha further expounds, he abandoned reckoning, did not assume conceit, he cut off craving here for name and form. Though devas and humans search for him, here and beyond, in the heavens and in all abodes, they do not find the one whose knots are cut, the one untroubled, free of longing. If you understand, spirit, speak up. And the Devata says, I understand in detail, venerable sir, the meaning of what was stated in brief by the Blessed One thus. One should do no evil in all the world, not by speech, mind, or body, having abandoned sense pleasures, mindful and clearly comprehending, one should not pursue a course that is painful and harmful. And that's the end of the sutta.
Yeah, that Devata at last, he says, Papangna Kaira, there's nothing called evil thing, verbally and mind. I mean, even if you do, don't do it, but whatever happening to the mindfulness, there's no good and bad. Don't do it, then society will come and penalize you. There's no bad thing as such. Not desire, even without desire, basic needs are naturally coming for all the beings. That's why people are living happy to live in their groups. In the group traveling, they get the security, get the food, I mean, some leftovers and that kind of thing. And therefore, people are happy to live in the groups because they know, being monks, our four requisites are naturally given. Just also one person asks, Manti, what do you need? If you are not giving, I ask other person, he told this. May I prepare? Then I told that we have enough. Then what are the sizes? And then I told, don't waste my time. I am not in need. My four requisites are fulfilled. I mean, too much. Not the fulfilled. So therefore, nothing to worry. So people, monks are always asking this and that and that. But this is not for the Nibbana, it is for the sensual pleasure. Whatever they are asking is for the sexual or not the sensual pleasure. Sexual or sensual pleasure. They think it is their right. Monks' rights. But four requisites abundant. We have enough. If it is not there, please let me know. I can take care. I have given an open ticket. But I am a chief here. I know things are abundant here. As much as. So I share with them. So that itself is contentment rather than the materiality. And have the clear comprehension and the mindfulness. And don't try to see the monetary or don't try to see materialistic pleasure. So when the Devata is telling that, appear like Devata is enlightened. But no. If the bloody Devata lured that young monk go and have pleasure. So therefore that titillation also don't take seriously. And this last statement, I mean it's a very well versed and well balanced and grammatical statement. That don't expect that Devata is above the Buddha. So we are believing it because that's a kind of a change happen within this few dialogue. Changing happened. So therefore now at least in front of the Buddha, at least in front of the Samiddhi Thero, Devata is kind of a confession. That's the way I understand it. But we, our monks also, we go to the in front of the lay people and appear like a god, appear like enlightened. And we give sermons. Don't think they are enlightened. But this is called deductive knowledge. It's called inferential knowledge, acquired knowledge. It is perfect. but not with the experience, not with the direct touch. But there is some messages there for us. We can understand changes can happen. By happening that kind of changing, don't expect the inner is changed. No, you have to practice a long, long way. But you have accepted to verify. It takes long time. So keep on doing. Do the same mistake the Devata done. Otherwise, Devata never go to Buddha. Do you understand? Due to his mistake only, he got a chance to see the Buddha. And after seeing the Buddha, he give a statement like enlightened. That bloody luring situation and disenlightenment is exactly the same. This is a cheating of mind. So we must not carry it away by the second statement. Or we must fall into the first, trap into the for state. This is what happened in our mind. This is what happened in our prolific thinking in front of a question. Both are there. The bad Devata and the good Devata. So we have to understand which, to what we are attributing. That indicates who am I. We are always attributing. We can't do away with that. We are very judgmental. Very, very quite decisive. So you already decided. You have been judged. You are not. Being monks, we are not bounded to give our judgment. But know the all the possible ways and means and pros and cons. But if someone is telling you must judge, I'll kick him. No, my monkhood is not for someone to come and interpret terms, you must do that, you must do that. I mean, they can suggest. But I am not committed. Because I know how difficult under such circumstances to keep the mindfulness intact. No one is helping us. Everyone is, eccentric. Make us eccentric. Ultimately, I am the person suffering. By satisfying the other external bloody fools. Asevanacha balana. You know Asevanacha balana? Mangala Sutta, first verse. Don't associate fools. We are always associating fools. Even that we are being a monk is a great, great achievement. Associating so much of fools. Foolish food. Foolish senasana. Foolish robes and foolish medicine. And still we are trying to be at least one split second mindful. That non-judgmental thought moment, how it saved, how it's saving us, enlightenment. So therefore we are great warriors. We try our best. We are not going to satisfy someone. I mean, we are sharing and we are co-practitioners, that is a separate issue. But we are associating so much of Bala. If you get majority in the election, you are the biggest fool. So all the Bala people are the people helping you. We are thinking people are corrupted, politicians are corrupted. No, people are corrupted. Corrupted people are the pointing their own best friends, best liars. So, Prajatantravad, that means democratic, Buddha is not democratic. Buddha is take care about here, now I am. It's monopoly, oligopoly. Oligopoly means group implementation. But popular idea, never the truth. A popular leader is cheating himself. But without that, we can't run the society. So you have to pay the highest salary for him. He is balancing such a thing. And so he must have sex, he must have drugs, he must have the gambling, and he must associate the thugs. I mean, what the hell they can do? They are criticizing others' thuggery. But political and leadership, whenever the leadership happens, you are corrupted. Because you are getting the majority. Majority means majority of fools are around you. Very difficult. So you have to pay enough for them. So it is time up. Don't try to be a leader. Try to be a leader to yourself and don't follow someone. Because everyone is never thinking about your well-being. They are deciding about their career. So mind your own business, be mindful. Am I too much? Am I too harsh?
Thank you, Swami Nuanse. To wrap up the session, may our relatives and all beings share in the merits produced by today's teaching. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the dispensation of the Buddha's teaching for a long time. May the seeds that have been planted in our hearts grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing merits.